Okay, we pick up from the point where Yusuf alayhi salam had entered into the jail, and there were two youngsters who entered into the jail with him. They had seen dreams they wanted interpreted. Before getting to the interpretation, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam called them towards the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he then gave them the interpretations. It so occurred as he had interpreted, the one was saved, the other one was executed, the one was saved, then was moved to the palace of the king, and he was serving the king, and in the interim period the king sees a dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dream in the verses of the noble Quran. Allah says, وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات. I see in a dream seven fat cows whom seven lean cows are devouring, and seven green ears of corn and seven others dry. So this is what he's seen. The dry corns are enfolding the green corns and causing the green ones to become dry. This was a dream which the king, do you remember what his name was? We've mentioned his name several times. His name is Rayyan ibn al-Walid. So this is the dream that he saw, and eventually this dream becomes the means of the freedom of Yusuf al-Islam and his rise to power. What does the king say? Ya ayyuhal malaw aftuni fi ru'yaya in kuntum lirru'ya ta'burun. O nobles, give me the interpretation of this dream of mine if you are indeed interpreters of the dream. If you are indeed interpreters of the dream, what was their response? They simply said, أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ. They said, these are imaginary dreams, and we do not know how to interpret such dreams. So it's obviously that they were ignorant of this art, and they were too ashamed to clearly admit their ignorance. Therefore they claimed, it's of no consequences. There's nothing more to it. At times a man imagines certain things in his sleep which do not even deserve any attention whatsoever. And then they said, we have no knowledge of such dreams, but we do not fall under the principle. They do not even need to be interpreted. Sometimes we don't know something, so we then do not want to say we do not know. Rather, we'll skate the issue. In fact, one great scholar, he was asked a number of questions, and for most of it he said, La Adri, La Adri, La Adri. And someone asked him, don't you feel shy to say La Adri when you are the imam of your village, of your town? And he say, should I feel ashamed of these people, or feel ashamed of answering incorrectly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes we don't know the answer. We simply say, this difference of opinion in this matter, so I'll just check it up. Well, the famous story of the mouse that fell into the well. So the person who was asked, the Malvi, he didn't know the answer, so he said, you know what, was it? Tell me what color was the mouse. In the meantime, he went to check the answer. So we shouldn't feel shy to say that we do not know. And in saying that we don't know, it is most safe for us. وقال الذي نجا منهما وذكر بعد امه انا انبئكم بتاويله فارسلون. The one who was saved from the two prisoners, he remembered after such some time, and then he said, I will tell you in the interpretation, so send me. So while the discussion was being taken place amongst all the nobles, the cupbearer who had been freed from prison, he then remembered Yusuf alayhi salam. He told the king and the other attendants that if you permit me to go, I will be able to present an interpretation of this dream. And he then said that there's a noble angel, Yusuf alayhi salam, in the prison, who is an expert in interpreting dreams. It's possible that he may be able to give the interpretation. So he then asked permission, and he said, I'm now going to go ask an interpretation from him. And he was permitted to go, and he went to Yusuf al-Islam and mentioned to him whatever then is mentioned in the other verses, as we will share that with you in a moment. But what we need to pause for a moment and realize, that the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam time and again draws our attention to the fact that when Allah wills something, when Allah has decreed something, He provides means for it. in an unprecedented manner, in unprecedented ways, which we cannot imagine. That Yusuf alayhi salam was to rise to the kingdom of Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the arrangement in a manner in which we cannot even fathom. So, the man who was the cupbearer, he then goes to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and he speaks to him and he addresses him by saying, "O truthful one," and he wanted to convey that you are an embodiment of honesty. Whatever emanates from your mouth is always true. I'm convinced that whatever interpretation you give about this dream will be realized to the letter. And these words demonstrate the extent to which the honesty and the truthfulness of the Anbiya alayhi salam was stamped on their hearts, and it was part of their very nature. What does he say? He says, "Yusuf, ayyuha as-siddiq, O Yusuf, O the truthful one, aftina fi sab'i baqaratin simanin, يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات لعلي أرجع إلى الناس لعلهم يعلمون." Interpret this dream for us. Seven fat cows, whom seven lean cows are devouring. So the lean cows are devouring the fat cows. And then seven green ears of corn, and seven others are dry. And the dry ones are folding the green ones up. So he says, "Tell us, interpret for us, so that I may return with your interpretation to the people, and perhaps they may understand. The people may understand the interpretation of the dream through this interpretation, and they will realize your great status and value." Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam then goes on to interpret. But look at this. What does he do? He doesn't, you know, he's unjustly in prison. He's been falsely accused. The man who comes to him is only remembering him after a very long time. Yusuf alayhi salam does not delay in interpreting the dream. "Oh, you know what? You forgot me for so long. Now you come when you need me. Now you only come to me." Or, you know, he doesn't say that, you made me wait here for so long. Now I'll wait for, make you wait, and I'll tell you when I'm ready to tell you. No, this is the nobility of the great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not delay in interpreting the dream. He did not lay down any conditions. He did not denounce the person and say that, you only need me. You only know me when you need me. That is what we often tell people who only need us when they, or only know us when they need us. What we gauge is what is nobility, what is dignity, what is the character of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This person merely asked for an interpretation of the dream. But what did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam do? He provided three things. He provided, number one, an interpretation. Number two, a solution. Number three, he gave him glad tidings. So there was an interpretation, a solution, and the glad tidings. Now, the interpretation, as indicated in the Quran, seven fat cows and seven green ears of corn refer to 7 years in which they will experience continuous prosperity, and there will be much produce, and the animals and the crops will flourish. This will be followed by 7 years of drought, which will devour all the past prosperity. Just a little will remain for future sowing. These 7 years are actually the lean cows and dried corns, which will destroy the fat cows and the ears of the corn. So Allah says, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبَى. He said, and this was the solution that he provided. He said that out of his benevolence, he wasn't even asked for a solution, but he provided the solution to the problem, and he said that the produce of the first 7 years should be safeguarded and used very thriftily. Set aside the portion which you need for your eating purposes from the harvest. Eat little with much caution. The remainder of the crop should be left in the ears so that it is protected from insects and worms, and so that the produce of 7 years could be used for 14 years. And if you do this, it will be difficult. It will not be difficult to face the onslaught of the drought. تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبَ. You shall sow for 7 years persistently. فَمَا حَسَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوا فِي سُنْبُلِهِ. Whatever you harvest, leave it in his ears, except a little which you may eat. ثُمَّ يَأْتِمْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ. There shall come thereafter 7 years of difficulty, which would devour whatever stored, which you will devour whatever you stored, except for a little which you would keep for the seed. ثم يأتي بعد ذلك عام في يغاث الناس وفي يأسرون. And there shall after that come a year in which people will be granted abundant rain and they will extract the juice from this. So after giving the interpretation, the solution, Yusuf alayhi salam gave them glad tidings that the year which will follow the 7 years of drought will be a year of redress from Allah. It will remain rain abundantly. Farms, orchards, the fruit, the crops, etc. will grow profusely. The udders of the animals will be filled with milk. The grapes and other fruit will be ready for pressing, from which you will extract juices. And all of this will be in abundance. And this was the interpretation, the solution, and the glad tidings that Yusuf alayhi salam gave to the cupbearer who had come simply for the interpretation of the dream. And this is what he then received. He then, the king had already been inclined towards Yusuf alayhi salam, but the cupbearer's mention of him, and now that he presented such a balanced and pleasing interpretation together with a solution that had the welfare of people in mind, the king was now convinced of the knowledge, the virtue, the intelligence, the noble character of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he immediately ordered that he should be presented before him, that he may have the opportunity to visit and honor him in accordance to the rank and the position. So a messenger went and presented the royal message to Yusuf alayhi salam. What did the king say? وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. The king said, bring him to me. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الرَّسُولُ قَالَ ارْجِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِ قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ إِنَّ رَبِّي بِكَيْدِهِنَّ عَلِيمٌ. When the messenger came there to Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam wanted the clearance of his religious and moral position, and this was far more important to him than any worldly honor and distinction. He didn't want to sell his values. You know, these days we are willing to sell our values for anything, to get our work done, to attain worldly progress. We're willing to engage in bribery, in corruption. We're willing to alter documents and to change and to deceive people and to speak lies. He said, no, firstly, I need to clear my name. The slightest of taint against a Nabi of Allah would pose an obstacle in providing guidance and the propagation of deen. And it was as though you were saying that if I come out of prison quietly in accordance with the order of the king and do not clear my name from the false accusations for which I bear these hardships many years in prison, then it's highly possible that someone who is unaware of the real situation would have doubts and misgivings about my innocence. And there are always people who are jealous, and they will then, you know, create the story and carry that story. So Yusuf al-Islam insists on the investigation. And he says that go back to the king and ask him, what is the truth about the women who cut their hands? My sustainer knows well all their intrigues, their plots. So he then displays extraordinary patience at this instance, fortitude, and he asks this messenger to return to the king and ask him the facts about the women who cut their hands. Yusuf al-Islam may have known their name, or he may not know have known their name. He doesn't mention their name because it is possible that by further mentioning it, he could further embarrass the lady who was involved in this. He exercised great fortitude at this instance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises his fortitude and patience. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had I remained in prison for as long as Yusuf had remained, I would have immediately come out of prison upon the order of the king. Subhanallah. Had I remained in prison as long as Yusuf had remained, I would have immediately come out of prison upon the order of the king. What did he do? He remained there. And the scholars say that Yusuf al-Islam's patience and his perseverance was part of his portrayal of his perfect submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what I mentioned, that Yusuf al-Islam did not mention the ladies. He just referred to very slightly, you know, that what had occurred. He didn't get into the details of all of that, because the one who had initiated all of this was Zulaikha, the lady of the house. And he didn't want to mention her in specific, because she was very kind to him, and she was the one who exercised or had some due over. She had taken the responsibility in upbringing him, and bringing him up, and nurturing him. So he didn't want to shame her. So therefore, he spoke in vague terms. And sometimes, you know, someone commits something that is wrong and has been dealt with. You shouldn't taunt the person every time and throw it in their face that, yeah, you are the one who did this, or you're the one who stole, or, you know, someone. If you take the employee and you keep them, or in a marriage that there has been some sort of inappropriate behavior from the house, the husband or the wife, now once you've resolved the issue, then don't keep throwing it in each other's face that you're the one who caused this, or you're the one who wanted out, or you're the one who caused this to me. Let that not be the case. Once things are resolved, then move on with your life. Don't keep bringing it up. And that is part of noble character as taught to us by the Anbiya alayhi salam, by Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what happens up until this point. He then deals with the issue and he says, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قلنا حاشا لله ما علمنا عليه من سوء قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حسحس الحق. The king then said to the women, what is the truth of the matter when you try to seduce Yusuf? So the way of inquiry chosen by the king was that he portrayed as though he already knew what was the end result. You know, sometimes you know that someone committed something, a child, you say, you portray as though you already know. You say, what happened when you hit Zaid? Why did you hit Zaid? Now, you don't even know whether your son had hit the other brother or not, but you already asked the question in such a way to portray that you already know what had happened. And this is one of the ways which you can use to interrogate situations. So that is what the king did at that time. He asked, what was the truth when you seduced Yusuf? As though implying that he already knew that they are the ones that seduced Yusuf. And they replied and said, Ma'adallah. They said that, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلِمْ سُوءٍ. Allah forbid, we know no evil against him. In that instance, Imratul Aziz, the wife of the Aziz, then spoke up and she said, الْآنَ حَسْحَسَ الْحَقِّ, that now the truth has been exposed. أَنَا رَاوَتُ عَنْ نَفْسِي وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. I was the one who tried to seduce him, and he is surely from the truthful ones. So she then admitted her crime, explicitly admitted to her fault, and she was absolutely honest as she said that Yusuf was the one who did not do any wrong. I tried to seduce him, and he, in the end, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنُهُ بِالْغَيْبُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْكَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. Yusuf alayhi salam went through this extensive process of clearing his name, and this was so that the Aziz may know that he did not betray him in secret, and that Allah does not allow the plot of the treacherous ones to succeed. So sometimes there is a need to clarify our names, to come out in the clear. If there's misgivings, we can't allow it to linger because it may have implications in the future. What happens from this point onwards, we will discuss that, the various stages of the nafs, and what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam from this point onwards after the break. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam then reaches the point where he clarifies his name. And then he says, these words can be interpreted in different ways. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. I do not absolve my nafs. Surely the nafs teaches evil, except those upon whom my sustainer has mercy. Surely my sustainer is most forgiving. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about his nafs and speaks about the reason behind all of this. Yusuf alayhi salam had given much emphasis to his innocence, it was possible that an ordinary person may accuse him of pride and haughtiness and arrogance, that he went to such pain to exonerate himself, to uplift himself. So he then explains by saying that I'm not vexing any pride, nor can I trust my soul to remain pure. It is solely the mercy of Allah which prevents my soul from evil. This is a special mercy that Allah had granted innocence to the Anbiya alayhi salam. So normally the task of human soul is to encourage man towards evil. Had it not been for Allah's favor and guidance, what Yusuf alayhi salam was saying, that my soul would have been like all other human souls. Now the word in that he speaks about, and he says that my sustainer is most forgiving and merciful, indicates towards that. Anyway, there are three levels of the nafs. The first is nafsul ammara, which the soul commands evil. It's always commanding evil. Then lawama, where the soul rebukes and prevents from evil. And Allah forgives the shortcomings. In fact, through this, the person then gradually reaches the stage of nafsul mutma'inna, where the soul experiences absolute tranquility in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one way of looking at it, that these are the words of Yusuf alayhi salam. Some of the commentators are of the opinion that it is in fact the words of Zulaikha and not Yusuf. In other words, after testimony, they are giving testimony that she had seduced Yusuf and given an admission of guilt. She then spoke, you know, to clear the matter and to explain that the Aziz may know that I did not commit such an serious breach of trust in his absence. I certainly tried to seduce Yusuf, but the seduction of mine did not succeed. Had I involved myself in additional breach of the trust, it would have been certainly been exposed by Allah. And Allah does not allow the plot of the treacherous to succeed. So yes, I do not absolve my soul. I admit whatever wrong I've done. And just like other human beings, I'm not pure of evil. It's only a pure person like Yusuf that can be safeguarded. So this is her saying, and if you have to interpret in that point of view, which some of the ulama have taken that route. Anyway, after this, the king had been impressed by Yusuf alayhi salam after speaking to him directly, and therefore he said, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصُ لِنَفْسِي. The king then said that, bring him here, I would like to take him as a special advisor for my special services. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. And then when he spoke to him, he said to him, surely from today you have acquired a higher rank with us. The king now cancelled his relationship with the Aziz and appointed Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in that position. Now there's a very interesting development. What then transpires? Yusuf alayhi salam is given a position in the kingdom. He is then told to choose, or he himself opts or makes a suggestion. And what does he say? He talks about the finance ministry, and he then makes a suggestion that he should be put in place or in the position of finance minister. Now, we can understand fully in South Africa the position of the finance minister and how critical it is to the economy. With the wrong appointment, our rand tumbled to the lowest levels in ever. You know, just with appointing the wrong person in this position, and when you put the right person again in the position, you get some sort of stability. So we in South Africa are able to fully grasp the importance of a finance minister and the role that a finance minister plays. And it is keeping that in mind that Yusuf alayhi salam personally requested the job, that he undertook this responsibility so that the masses could derive maximum benefit. Now, this was with regard to the drought that was coming and how to deal with the situation. It's for that reason that he said, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض, place me in charge of the treasures of the land. إني حفيظ عليم, I am observant, حفيظ observant, and possessing of knowledge, عليم. And this is what we need, observant and having the knowledge. So it becomes clear from this that Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam possessed perfect knowledge of this world as well, and did not consider it below the dignity or contrary to piety to involve themselves in monetary affairs. That, you know, it's not that if you get involved in in monetary affairs, you're dirtying your hands. Yusuf alayhi salam took the position of finance minister. He was dealing with money all the time. Now, the question is that should we be asking for position or not? If a person with sincere intention feel that he is qualified for a particular task and that others will not be able to accomplish it as successfully, then keeping the welfare in mind and the well-being of the Muslims, and a person may make a request to be appointed for such a task. And if a situation demands that, he must mention that, you know, why I'm asking for this task is because I possess these qualities that are needed for this task, then it would be lawful, it would be permissible to even say that, look, I possess, I think I have the capabilities, I think in the interest of the country, I have the expertise, put me in the position. And there's nothing wrong with that. Abdullah bin Samura radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person demands leadership for himself, then the weight of his responsibility is placed on his shoulders and he does not receive divine help. This is applicable when this is demanded on a person wanting worldly fame, but if it is for the benefit of serving mankind, then the assistance of Allah will still be with that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. In this way we gave power to Yusuf on the land. يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He could take possession therein wherever he liked. He could settle down wherever he willed, and so do as he willed. It was as though Rayyan ibn al-Walid was the king in name only, and Yusuf was really running the country. He was now addressed as Aziz, as this had become his title. And some scholars write that the king had embraced Islam at the hands of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And they also write that during the time the Aziz had passed away and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam married Zulaika. Allah knows best. The scholars of hadith do not rely on that narration too much. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The reward of the year after is better for those who believe and remain righteous. The one who treads the path of righteousness and piety is given the sweet fruit thereof in this world as well as by Allah. And this could be in different forms, in the form of wealth, power, comforts of this world, a wholesome life, contentment of the heart. Allah bestowed this to Yusuf al-Islam and to all those who tread that path. As for the reward of the year after, that is far better, and that is for the greater benefit for all. So as we said, that amongst the questions that the Jews had put was that how did the Banu Israel come to Egypt? How did the progeny of Ibrahim al-Islam come to Egypt? And Yusuf, the story of Yusuf al-Islam was revealed to explain that. That this is how they had come and this is where it all had started. And a subtle point that comes here is that, and let us reflect on this, let us reflect very deeply. The brothers of Yusuf al-Islam had thrown Yusuf al-Islam out of the house in order to disgrace him. The brothers of Yusuf al-Islam had thrown him out of the house in order to disgrace him. Allah gave him honor and power over the land. That is exactly what happened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when the people of Makkah had thrown him, literally wanted to kill him and exiled him from Makkah to disgrace him, hoping to put an end to it, yet that very incident became the means of the strengthening of Islam. وَأَسَّى أَن تَكْرَوْ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. What seems to be bad for you, what seems to drag you through the mill, which seems to be adverse circumstances, bad conditions, yet those very conditions can turn out to be conducive and beneficial for you, and the best possible goodness can come from that what you thought was bad for you. What happens from this point onwards? Yusuf al-Islam then meets his brothers, and it has been mentioned that when Yusuf al-Islam had gained absolute control over Egypt, in accordance with the dream of the king, the country flourished for 7 years, and the grain was in abundance. The following 7 years was of drought. He sold off the grain at an average market rate to all the countrymen and foreigners as well. He gave all a portion. He did not give the foreigners more than a camel's load, and in this way the population was saved from the drought, and the treasure of the king was filled. It became known in the neighboring countries that the grain is cheap in Egypt. The brothers of Yusuf al-Islam came to Egypt in order to purchase the grain. Up until this point, we could perhaps assume that there had been no change whatsoever in the physique, in the appearance of the brothers. On the other hand, Yusuf al-Islam, who had throughout been making inquiry about his father and his brothers, and when the brothers came to him, he requested their names and must have seen the description and immediately recognized them, and because of the name and the lineage, etc. Yusuf al-Islam was very young when he had separated from them, and they may not have been able to recognize him, and the general public generally don't have the courage to ask the king, what's your name? What's your lineage? You're asking us, what's our lineage? Tell us about your lineage. So what happens? The brothers of Yusuf come to him. They went to him. He recognized them, whereas they did not recognize him. They did not recognize him up until this point. Yusuf al-Islam was extremely courteous and hospitable to his brothers. He gave them one camel load each of grain. And upon seeing the special kindness and noble character of his, they then said that we have a stepbrother, Binyamin, whom we've left behind with our old sorrow-stricken father, so that he may console him. He is sorrow-stricken because a brother Yusuf, who was very beloved to our father, died in the jungle. That is what they said. Long time ago, he died in the jungle. So they then asked that if you could also give Binyamin's share of grain, it would be highly appreciated. Yusuf al-Islam replied and said, it's against the rules to give a share to someone who's not present. When you come back with him, then we will give him his share. You have personally witnessed the hospitality and the courtesy that we've showed, so you need to bring him back. When he provided them with a provision, he said to them, bring to me a brother of yours who is from your father, and do not... Now, they asked that we wanted for him. He then said that, do you not see, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِ الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ مُنزِلِينَ? Do you not see that I give you the measure in full and I entertain guests very well? So there should be a plus factor to bring him. And then he warned them that, look, you are asking for a brother. If you do not bring, that means you are lying to me. There has to be consequences for lying. So if you do not bring him to me, it would be understood that you are lying and trying to deceive me into taking an additional share. And the punishment of that is that your own share will be cancelled. In fact, you will not be permitted to come even here or enter into the kingdom. If you do not bring him to me, there shall be no share for you, nor should you even approach me. So this was the divine arrangements falling into place. They then said, سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ وَإِنَّا لَفَعِنُونَ. We shall request this from his father, and we will certainly do this. Although it was very difficult to separate him from our father, they were saying that we will do our level best. We will do our level best to convince our father in some way or the other, and we have full hope that we will succeed in this regard, and we will be able to convince our father that he permits us to bring Binyamin, and that you are able to then give us the full amount. Secretly, Yusuf alayhi salam then shows his kindness even further. He orders that the merchandise which they had given in exchange for the grain, what they use as payment, their money simply, be secretly placed in their provisions. And when they reach home and open their provisions, they will then find the merchandise there. And in this way, they will have an additional incentive to return. And they will find, that you will never find such a noble king anywhere else. It's also possible that if the merchandise was not returned, they would have been forced not to come a second time because they were under severe financial constraints. So it is for that reason that he returned the merchandise to them. And Yusuf alayhi salam made this arrangement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ. He said to his servants, اِجْعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ. Place their merchandise amongst their provisions. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَى أَهْلِهِمْ. So that they may recognize them when they go back to their family. إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَى أَهْلِهِمْ. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And they may return. It's also, maybe considered as undignified to take any price from his brothers. And that's maybe one of the extra reasons why he didn't take any wealth from them. They then return. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَى أَبِيهِمْ. They go to the father. And they then say, يَا أَبَانَا مُنِعَ مِنَّا الْكَيْلُ فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا نَكْتَلْ وَإِنَّا لَوْ لَحَافِظُونَ. Though father, the measure of corn has been withheld from us. Send therefore our brother with us so that we may be able to bring the measure. We will take good care of him. Do not have any doubt regarding Binyamin as you have regarding Yusuf. We are now on guard and we will do our utmost to protect him. And what was the response of Yaqub? They said the same thing, that we will take care of him and all of that. Yaqub alayhi salam said, هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا مِنْتُكُمْ عَلَى أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That can I trust him as I trusted his brother with you? You know exactly what you did. But it was an extreme need this time, and no one could deny that. It therefore seemed inevitable that he had to send him. And he had to therefore place him under the guardianship of Allah. And he said, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best of guardian. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And he is the most merciful. He alone will safeguard him through his mercy and save me from a second calamity after the loss of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what happens? وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاءَهُمْ. When they opened their possessions, وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ. They found that their merchandise has been returned to them. And at this point, they then say, يَا أَبَانَا مَا نَبْغِي. Oh Father, what more could we desire? هَذِهِ بِضَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا. This merchandise of ours has been returned to us. وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا وَنَحْفَذُ أَخَانَا وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ. If now we go, we will bring positions to our possessions, provisions for our house. We will watch over our brother and we will bring an extra camel's load. ذَلِكَ كَيْلُ يَسِيرٌ. This is an easy measure. So they try to convince their father, and he then speaks to them and says, لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِي مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَتُؤْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَن يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ. He says, I will never send him with you until you give me a pledge by Allah that you will certainly bring him back to me unless you yourselves are overpowered. That if due to divine will you are confronted by an incident wherein all of you are surrounded and there's no way of escape, then there's obviously nothing that I can say about that. However, I would like you to show and display resistance, and I'd like you to guarantee me that you will try everything within your might and power to protect Binyamin. So after making this firm pledge and promising with them and saying Allah is witness, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظٌ, he then emphasized all of this and he then allows him to go. What he says in the end, فَلَمَّا آتَوْهُ مَوْثِقًا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. Then when all of them gave him the pledge, he said Allah is witness to all of this. You are actually making a firm pledge in accordance to your ability. However, the actual purpose and aim of all of this can only be realized through the protection and the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then gives them an important directive in what he says, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابِ وَاحِدٍ وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ. When Yusuf's brothers went to Egypt for the first time, they entered the country like ordinary travelers, not distinguished from others. However, upon seeing Yusuf al-Islam's special attention and treatment to them, the people must have looked towards them, and the second journey would now be undertaken with much more importance and prompt. In fact, we could say that it was on the invitation of Yusuf the king, Binyamin, whom Yaqub had sent with in terms of wanting to honor honoring the request of the king and all of that. Now, under these circumstances, he is now sending him with. So, there would be much pomp and show to all of this. They depart on the instruction of the father. The father thought to himself that 11 handsome and graceful sons to enter the city collectively, especially after the wonderful treatment they received previously from the Aziz, which was witnessed by the people, was something that would definitely attract the attention of the masses. And to warn them in that regard, we know the hadith al-aynu haqqun, the influence of the eye casting the evil glance is in fact a reality. In present day, we see it. So in order to save his sons from the evil consequences of the eye of jealousy in others, Yaqub al-Islam instructs his sons to enter separately from different gates, like ordinary people in ordinary fashion, and in so doing they will not intentionally or unintentionally attract the attention of the public eye. At the same time, he added that these measures cannot stop the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what he says, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابِ وَاحِدٍ وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ. Don't enter from one gate, enter from different gates. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. I cannot save you from any order of Allah. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. The decision is only with Allah, it belongs to Allah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. It is upon him we place our trust. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. And upon him should all those who place their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, you know, with regard to the evil eye, I think we should for a moment stop and reflect and ask ourselves, you know, sometimes we are a bit too flashy in what we do, too ostentatious. And this may have consequences. People take pictures of their food and they put it up on social media, foodstagramming, and they say we foodies. Perhaps it may have an impact, you know, putting pictures of your children, putting pictures of yourself all the time as profile pictures, showing off in that sense, and, you know, putting it in the public eye. Even what we, you know, in terms of how we dress ourselves, in terms of the vehicle that we drive, in terms of the home we live, the intention, we need to be clear in that regard. And sometimes it borders onto ostentation and showing off. And when we put ourselves forward in the public domain, what happens is there is definitely the effect of the evil eye. So we need to be wary of the effect of the evil eye and protect ourselves by continuously reading our quls and blowing, protecting ourselves in that regard, and also protecting ourselves by not unnecessary drawing attention to ourselves, being ostentatious, being very elaborate, you know, showing off. We should abstain from all of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. That brings us to the close of part 5 of Pearls from Yusuf, from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We could title this one from the prison all the way to the palace.